Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And today, we give you the fourth and final installment of a lecture given by Christian missionary Marvin Cowan. Marv has served among the Mormon people here in Utah for over 50 years and is the author of Mormon Claims Answered. His message, titled, "The Bible, Is It Enough?", addressed the erroneous conclusion many Mormons have regarding the trustworthiness and completeness of the Bible. This message was given at our Compassionate Boldness Conference held in the Salt Lake Valley in 2008. And now, the conclusion of The Bible, Is It Enough?
When it comes to archaeology, archaeologists say they've never found one name, one event, one place, one anything that verifies the Book of Mormon. Now, for the Bible, obviously, and that was one of my questions to the Smithsonian Institution, that they found something. Well, they said, yes, they could verify many locations and so forth. They could not verify spiritual experiences and conversations, which stands to reason. But they had found many of the places. There really is an Israel. They are real people. And there really is a place called Bethlehem and Jerusalem and Hazor and many, many other places where they've done archaeological work and so forth. It is a real history of real people. Internally, the Book of Mormon has many problems. In the Doctrine and Covenants section 20 and also in section 27, it says it contains the fullness of the gospel. And yet there's nothing in the Book of Mormon about God having once been a man or men becoming gods or God having a body of flesh and bones or three heavens and no hell. On the contrary, the Book of Mormon teaches many of the Christian doctrine. It teaches God is that great spirit that created all things, not a resurrected, glorified man. It teaches one heaven and a fiery, unending hell, which they don't believe. So as far as a book to understand Mormonism, and I'm often asked that question, should I read the Book of Mormon to better understand Mormonism? I said, well, you can read the Book of Mormon to better understand the Book of Mormon if you want to, but to understand Mormonism, it's a waste of time. It will not show you what Mormonism believes and teaches today. It just isn't there. Now, of course, the other books do teach it, the Doctrine and Covenants. This is a book of revelations, supposedly to Joseph Smith primarily. There's about three or four others that are there, but almost all of them are Joseph Smith's. One of the things that I found interesting, for example, in the Doctrine and Covenants section 1, verse 37, it says, "Search these commandments, for they are true and faithful, and the prophecies and promises which are in them shall all be fulfilled." Now, that's a promise that all the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. In section 3, verse 1, it says, "The works and designs and purposes of God cannot be frustrated, neither can they come to naught." Verse 3 goes on to say, "It is not the work of God that is frustrated, but the work of man." And so if they don't come to pass, it must have been the work of man, not the work of God. And yet the thing that amazes me is the Doctrine and Covenants is just plain full of false prophecy. I've been writing a number of articles for John Ankerberg's webpage. Some of you know who he is. And if you're interested and want to read some of the false prophecies in the Doctrine and Covenants, go to his webpage under Apologetics and Mormonism. You'll see the articles that I've been writing, and it's gone on for a number of months. I found the more I researched some of this stuff, there's more that I didn't even realize was there that are just plain false. For example, the idea of the gathering is promoted in the Doctrine and Covenants section 29. They were to gather to one place, but you don't see that today. To some extent, they gathered here, and of course, they did for a while in Missouri and at Nauvoo and Kirtland, Ohio, and so forth. But that was eventually aborted, and now the instruction that the First Presidency gives is stay in your own lands. Don't come to America. Even though the Lord said you need to gather to one place, it isn't being done. In Section 84, verses 1 to 5, it says they're to build a temple in Missouri, and it's to be built by the gathering of the saints from all over the world to build that temple And it was to be finished in that generation in which that revelation was given, which was September of 1832. Now, I don't know anybody that's still living that was alive in 1832, so that's a false prophecy. In section 97, it talks about Zion cannot be moved. The thing that I found interesting when I started doing some research there is Zion had been moved 2 weeks before that. Smith just didn't know it. He was in Kirtland, Ohio, and he was talking about what was going on in Missouri. But it was already removed because they didn't have the type of communications we have today. In section 104, it talks about the United Orders, an everlasting order for the salvation of men until Jesus said, I come. Do you see any of the United Order in existence? You know what it was? They had all things in common and so forth. No, it doesn't exist. So that was a false prophecy. Then the other book is the Pearl of Great Price, which is their other book of Scripture. In that you have Moses, which is a revelation to Joseph Smith, just like the Doctrine and Covenants. And by the way, Moses is right out of the inspired version of the Bible after you get through chapter 1 from chapter 2 on up through chapter 8 in the inspired version. That's all it is. But then you have the book of Abraham that we already talked about, and there's absolutely no validity to the book of Abraham as far as reality is concerned. There's just no validity to it at all. And then you have the two little books of Joseph Smith. And if I had time, I could spend a lot of time with the one called Joseph Smith History. It is full of error, just full of error. Yet that's what Mormonism is based upon. Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th prophet of the church, said Mormonism, as it's called, must stand or fall on the story of Joseph Smith. He was either a prophet of God, divinely called, properly appointed and commissioned, or he was one of the greatest frauds this world has ever seen. And yet that story of Joseph Smith has real fallacy in it. If you want to read some of it, my little book out there called Mormon Claims Answered, the first chapter deals with some of that. By the way, the title of my book is not Mormonism Under Attack, it's Mormon Claims Answered, because I'm responding to the claims they made against Christianity and what they've made for themselves, that they are the one true church and they've got additional scriptures and authority and all that sort of thing that makes them the one and only true church. In the manual of the LDS Church, which is used by the priesthood and by the Relief Society for their studies, this is for 2008 and 2009. The book itself was published in 2007, but it's their study guide for 2008 and 9. And it says something about the Bible, I think, that gives you an idea where they're really coming from. And I would remind you that this is not some ancient thing. This is current material. And it's talking, and by the way, the title of this is The Teachings of the Presidents of the Church, Joseph Smith. And of course, he was the founder. On page 198 and 99, it says this. Brother Joseph, that is Joseph Smith, turned to Brother Brigham Young and said, Brother Brigham, I want you to take the stand and tell us your views with regard to the living oracles and the written word of God. Brother Brigham took the stand, and he took the Bible and laid it down. He took the Book of Mormon and laid it down. He took the book Doctrine and Covenants and laid it down before him and said, there is the written word of God to us concerning the work of God from the beginning of the world almost to our day. And now, he said, when compared with the living oracles, those books are nothing to me. Those books do not convey the word of God direct to us now, as do the words of a prophet or a man bearing the holy priesthood in our day and generation. I would rather have the living oracles than all the writings in the books. That was the course he pursued. And when he was through, Brother Joseph said to the congregation, Brother Brigham has told you the word of the Lord, and he has told you the truth. So none of their scriptures are as important as what the prophet says. And again, I remind you, this is their current study. Now, that's saying pretty much the same thing. You remember that Ezra Taft Benson said in his 14 Fundamentals, you remember he says in naming them, first, the prophet is the only man who speaks for the Lord in everything. Second, the living prophet is more vital to us than the standard works. What are the standard works again? The Bible, Book of Mormon, Doctrine, Covenants, and Pearl of Great Price. The prophet is more important than those. And third, the living prophet is more important to us than a dead prophet. So what Monson says today is more important than what Hinckley said, because Hinckley's now dead. In reality, realize that Mormonism has five sources to know God's word and will. four of them are not near as important as the living prophet. The living prophet is the most important. One of the things that I found interesting when I was talking with the seminary teachers as well as a number of others, and they were talking about the fact that our Bible isn't translated correctly. I pointed out they use the King James Version of the Bible instead of the Joseph Smith translation. The King James Version is still their official Bible. And I said, you know, the thing that surprises me and amazes me is that you have four books of Scripture, three of which have been changed on many occasions. The Book of Mormon in over 4,000 places over the past several years. The Doctrine and Covenants, man, when they yanked out the lectures on faith, they took 75 pages right out of Scripture when they did that in 1921. Even the Pearl of Great Price has been changed. I said, those books have been changed. The one and only book that has not been changed is the one you say has all the problems, the King James text, is the only one that you haven't changed. And the surprising thing to me is, now with Monson, he's the 16th prophet of the church. And you realize that each one of those prophets have other titles, trustee and trust, president of the church, and translator. Translator! So my question is, if the Bible is so mistranslated, why hasn't one of those prophets with the title of translator made the corrections? I think the reason's pretty obvious why they haven't. They can't do it. So we come back to what Jesus said at the beginning of our study today. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Friends, as you talk with your Mormon friends, neighbors, relatives, whatever, be sure that you emphasize who Jesus is. He is the Savior that saves to the uttermost. He is the only mediator between God and men. He is the message these people desperately need.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by your LDS friend? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons' Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose. Now you'll have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Questions such as, wouldn't you like to have your marriage and family endure for all eternity? And what's wrong with praying about the Book of Mormon are dealt with in a straightforward but loving manner. Available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, 1358 West Temple in Salt Lake City. Or if you prefer, you can order online at mrm.org. That's mrm.org. Answering Mormons' Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.